Classic Country, 1450 AM, 103.5 FM, KBBS. Good morning, I'm Brady Safranik. This is Community Speaks, and it's being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Stop into the Prescription Shop, where they are so much more than just prescription medication. And joining me this morning, Dave Simonson with KBJ Economic Development and JOCO First. Dave, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you doing, Brady?
Doing very well. And we're going to talk about a couple of different things. One of them, you know, the Bomber Mountain Civic Center over there seems to be getting a lot of use and maybe getting some more use as you guys have sort of a partnership with the Y right now.
We just, within the last this last month, we signed a lease agreement with the YMCA. And then this fall, I think the plans are that lease agreement will actually increase a little bit. What they're doing is they're putting classes that they in the past have had in places where they really shouldn't have those type of classes, like their racquetball court. And so what we're getting in our facility and the room that they're renting is what we call the Wyoming room, what most people may remember as the old library in the facility. And they're so yoga classes, Pilates classes, and other classes.
Are you teaching these classes?
I am not. And I haven't attended either. Claudia in my office did attend a yoga class yesterday and was very excited about it. So we're very excited about that partnership. And it's a great it's great for everybody. One, it gets more traffic into our facility, and it provides additional space for the YMCA to utilize within their facility, and they do have plans for the space that they will be clearing up as a result. And we look forward to continuing that partnership and growing it.
Well, and it's nice to have so many uses for that Bomber Mountain Civic Center. I remember I moved here a little over 4 years ago, and that was about the time they were getting that going. And, you know, so it seems like it's been a great use of the space so far, and it seems like moving forward, people are going to keep taking advantage of it.
Absolutely. You know, we had a little bad news from our perspective here a week or so ago, or a couple weeks ago, when the Boys and Girls Club announced that they were going to be moving out. We have two anchor tenants, and they were one of them. Caught us off guard, but we understand. From the standpoint of, we use that facility also as an accelerator, incubator type space. And while they're a nonprofit, and most people wouldn't think of a nonprofit as a business, that's wrong. A nonprofit, if they're going to be successful, should be operated like a business. And the fact that they reached a point where they felt they were able to buy a new building and renovate that building and move out, that's part of our mission is to be able to do that. Does it hurt us? Absolutely.
You know, bittersweet in that way.
It is bittersweet, but that's always the case when we've had a series of businesses that have left our facility or facilities and moved into other facilities within the community. In this case, they're buying a building. In other cases, a lot of times the businesses that have moved out are leasing community space or private space within the community, and that's what we want to have happen. That's why we do what we do from an economic development standpoint. And so we'll be looking at and planning on how we can fill that space within the facility. It's a large space. There's going to have to be some work done on that. The board will actually be discussing how that will all take place. Some of the work will have to be done by the Boys and Girls Club, because that's part of their lease, is it has to be returned to the a usable condition from that standpoint. But we're excited for them and wish them nothing but the best. My son goes to the Boys and Girls Club, and so I know the benefits of that organization, and I'm excited for him.
Yeah, well, I mentioned bittersweet. It's you know, you don't want to see him leave your building, because there goes a check every month as well. But like you said, you like seeing them move on to bigger and you know, maybe not bigger and better, but moving on somewhere else to another facility and branching out.
Yeah, you know, at a time where we've already taken budget cuts, their rent and utilities that they pay come to close to $50,000 a year. So that, while they'll be here three quarters of our fiscal year this year, because our fiscal year begins in July, they're moving out approximately February. They may or may not need to go on a month to month after that, but that's when their lease officially ends. And so, you know, we will be working hard. I dare I say scrambling at some way.
Might have to have a bake sale to make up that money.
We may have to. You know, and the new partnership with the Y will help offset a little bit of that. Not a great deal, but a little. And, you know, if we can bring in more tenants like that, that's what we'll be looking at doing.
Certainly. You can always pitch to them, hey, start here and you're going to move into somewhere bigger.
That's right. That is exactly right.
Also, one of the things we're going to talk about is a local 1% tax that a group of people have decided to voice their concerns. They want to do away with this tax. What can you tell us about this?
Well, you know, it's easy to be anti-tax, and I understand that, and nobody likes to be taxed, but it's a necessary evil, and if you want to have the things that we expect, roads, streets, services for our children, services for our seniors, just services in general. And the city and county rely on that tax. There's some misinformation, and you know, I think that quite honestly, some uninformed individuals at this point in time, the impact to this community if that 1% tax is eliminated would be devastating. There are so many organizations that rely on that for operations. You know, you look at the variety of different organizations, whether it's ACASA or Compass now, or which provides children's services, and other organizations, Boys and Girls Club, we've talked about, our organization, which we're a public entity, but we still rely on those funds. The sprinkler system that we're looking to install has been funded over the next 2 years by that 1%, and that's a fire and safety issue for all the people that use our facility. And you know, we have activities in our facility where people are drinking. They get permits to be able to do so. It's a legal activity. But you know, if we had a fire and something like that was going on and somebody were to be killed or die, you know, I wouldn't be able to look myself in a mirror knowing that, you know, hey, we had the opportunity to fund that and now it's gone. And then, you know, there are a lot of activities like that. The city and the county, the police cars, the road crews equipment, things of that nature that they fund with those dollars. And so there's a real, you know, do we need to do more education? Absolutely. That's, you know, the communication, education is so important. You know, we see it with my board. We're making changes at my board level. We're bringing on some new board members, and we're going to, for the first time, do a board orientation. You know, in the past, they were thrown in, and it was sink or swim. That falls back on me as well. But now we're making those adjustments, and that will be done. All new board members and current board members have and will have board books that they'll be able to look at and review and refer back to. It's the growth of an organization, and we're growing and changing and improving, and that's what's important.
And so with this 1% tax, if you have these numbers off the top of your head, where does that put us as far as what we're paying compared to, you know, other places?
You know,
because we're still lower than most, aren't we?
We are. We absolutely are. We're the fifth penny. There's still the sixth penny, and plus there's an economic development up to, I believe it maybe a full penny, but for sure a half. Goshen County uses a quarter of that, so a quarter penny. So they have a variety. There's some that have 7% tax. If you look at what we're charged, it's definitely cheaper than that. And the thing about sales tax is not paid just by Johnson County residents.
In fact, a lot of it, especially this time of year, is paid by visitors.
It absolutely is.
Jack it up for them.
It absolutely is. They come in, and I say this with a smile on my face, they come in and they take advantage of the amenities that we have within this community. Should we charge them for those amenities? Absolutely. Why wouldn't we?
And when people are on vacation, they have money to burn.
They absolutely do.
You know, they got a pocket. You know, they're not going to say, "Oh, that extra cent, now I'm going somewhere else."
And they don't even look at it. I can guarantee it. When you go to a community on vacation, the last thing you ask is, "What's your sales tax?" Oh, I'm not shopping here. I'll go to the next community.
Right.
Or I'm not going to stay at this hotel. You look at your bill afterwards and think, "Boy, that's a high tax." Yeah. But you pay it and you move on.
It's vacation, so yes. You just do it.
It is. Yeah. And so it's, I understand that, nobody likes taxes, but
it's an evil word.
It is, but it's at least it's not a four-letter word.
That's right. And the last thing we're going to chat about here this morning is the tech park, and where are we on this tech park?
Yeah, the Business Council awarded the City of Buffalo, they were the applicant to the for the grant, the Business Ready Communities grant, and it's a Business Ready grant out of the Business Ready Communities funding, $1 million of a $2.8 million request. And so Nelson Engineering is the engineer that has been hired to develop that. We're working with Rocky Mountain Power. Brent Bennett is doing a lot of the legwork as the lead engineer on the project. Rocky Mountain Power has proposed to put power that would encircle the park, so there would be redundant power in the park, which is awesome and greatly appreciated, and it shows a partnership there with Rocky Mountain Power that will benefit the community and benefit those businesses that go into that park.
Well, it always sucks having a power outage. We had one yesterday.
We did.
All across town.
And we can get to that because we have a generator and it worked. That's awesome. We had electricity. We were out maybe a total of 10 seconds.
Oh, wow.
And on came our computers and everything again. And I was just shutting my computer down when that happened. And fortunately, I had already saved everything because I know our organizational attorney and the city attorney, the Curvin's office, they're dealing with some major computer issues this morning because of that shock to the system that occurred. And hopefully not too many others had that.
It was still daylight when it happened, so it's not like people were, screaming and running through the streets.
It in our office, because we don't have any windows, it gets pretty dark, like I said, it was very short. But yeah, from the park perspective, it will be a great benefit. And we're also looking at other infrastructure and ways to get access into that park. So a lot of what is happening right now is planning. The new fiscal year for the Business Council begins July 1st, and what we have done is I wrote a letter and the mayor signed that letter. It was submitted to the Business Council, asking them to reconsider our application and fully fund it so that would be an additional $1.8 million on top of the $1 million that they awarded us. The reason that they awarded us the $1 million and not the full amount, because it was recommended by staff. It was recommended from the standpoint of being a good project and a quality project project and one that makes sense. The issue was is they were out of money, and so
it's everybody's issue.
It's everybody's issue. But now that we're in a new fiscal year and they've been allocated new money for this fiscal year, we're back in that queue, and the project will be up for review in September when the Business Council meets again. The Business Council staff will review it over in August, and then with hopefully we'll recommend it again, and then it'll go to SLIB in October for their the final approval or non-approval, depending on.
So if it's non-approval, what happens then?
Well, then we make do with the $1 million. That does not get us build-ready sites. It doesn't get us to a point where we really need to be. What it does is it gets us an access into the what we're calling the park area, and very basic infrastructure. We really need the 1.8 to be able to move it forward and to get that build-ready site, because that's the goal. Businesses, they move at the speed of business, and we, government, doesn't always move at that pace. We try, but in order to meet the needs of business, they're looking for something they can come in and not have to worry about environmental issues, worry about streets, worry about sewer, water, gas, electric, and fiber in today's world. So we're looking at bringing all that in so it's there, and that's what the 2.8 does for us. The 1 million does not get that done. And so if we can get to that point, then we are... We're a leg above or a step above those communities that do not have that ability or those things with, you know, from a build ready standpoint.
Sure, it's an exciting time.
Yes,
talking with Dave Simonson with KBJ Economic Development and JOCO First. Dave, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Absolutely. Anytime, Brady. Thank you.
This is Community Speaks, and it's brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street. Stop into The Prescription Shop, where they are so much more than just prescription medication. And keep it tuned, KBBS.